Blog Talk Radio.
All right. I'm having some technical difficulties here. Give me a hot second. Computer is running extremely slow. A 516 number. Just know that we are experiencing some technical difficulties and we are straightening them out. So please bear with us. I'm going to close down some things on my computer. Being very slow to close these things down. Okay, I think I'm going to have to close down Chrome all the way and come back in. All right, let me close down Chrome and come back in. And like I have 114 windows open. Okay, so again, bear with me here. I don't want to restart my computer, so I'm going to close down these web browsers. If they decide that they're going to close now. Right, again, if you're called into the number, just hold on tight. I'm having to close a bunch of stuff down. Something is hanging the computer up. And I believe it's the web browser. Let's see if we can get Chrome to come back up now. All right. For those of you who are listening, it looks like my browser is wanting to update, and so that is what's going on. And then I will be on. There it is. I don't want it to restore all those windows, so we do one at a time. Okay, going to the room now. Of you who are in the room, check 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, can I be heard?
can hear you now.
All right. Thank you. Let me go to Blog Talk real quick and make sure that it is up and running correctly. All right. Mr. Clara there. Going back to the room, I need a hot second. I have to answer the USDA real quick so that we can get this farm number, and I'll come back and explain what's going on. To resubmit the paperwork for the farm number. I did this last year, and I paid a company to actually do it, and turns out they actually didn't ever do it. And so, you know, I was like, I don't see where I ever got a farm number at. And so I checked, you know, trying to find online if I could find my farm number, and found out that it was never submitted. And so I went downtown to apply. And they went ahead and sent it to the appropriate place. And so they sent me back where I needed to sign a new application. And so I needed to sign that and get it back to them. So if you'll bear with me here. And that's when this all started going crazy. Everything was working fine until I went to print that application, trying to get it done before, you know, the broadcast started. So let me print that off and sign it and then get it back to them. Then we should have the farm number in the morning. We need the farm number to actually apply for anything concerning the farm as far as grants going, that kind of stuff. I was just trying to make sure that everything was thing, and that, you know, we were all set. And as I said, only to find out that the company that I had paid to do this, they filled the paperwork out, but they never actually submitted it. Let's see. Email open. There we go. And so we will be doing training on grants.gov this evening. Just bear with me. This has to be done right now. Okay. It was nothing on your end. It was our system. There are certain things we have to do in the software, and I was simply wanting to let you know that it was going to take longer than expected to complete. I actually have everything ready now. I reviewed the manual CC902, farm out plan you submitted, and entered it into the automated system. I've attached the automated 6902 form operator plan for you to review and sign where indicated. I also reviewed the CC941 average adjusted gross income statement form submitted to. It was incomplete for FY22. I've updated the form for you to review and sign for FY23 since NRCS is working on with FY23. Eligibility right now. Based upon the way you completed the AD 1026 highly erodible land conservation and wetland conservation certificate, and once you completed the rest of the eligibility, I will forward the submitted AD 1026 to the NRS office to complete the land determination. Finally, for your records, I've attached a map corresponding FSA 156 EZ form record for the land you operate in Apache Farm 5929. Okay, that is our number then. Please let me know if you have any questions or concerns. Once you've completed the form, please send them to CC902 and CC941 back so I can flag in the system and forward to NCRS for action. I believe NCRS's hard deadline is in a couple of days, so you can get those back and address me before then. I'd appreciate it. All right, so we are going to, let me take care of this real quick. Don't want to take any chance that we miss any deadlines for anybody because we want the grant and we want at least to have the ability to apply for them. And as I said, I thought this was, I thought we had this done a year ago. So be patient with me still. When I leave the computer, I'll play a song. And I should have this done within the next couple of minutes. Let me print that and sign it so I can scan it back into them. All right, how's everybody's day?
Doing good.
Doing good. It's not, the weather's not bad. There are no tornadoes or anything like that?
No. Nope. We had rain the other night, but no tornadoes. The tornadoes was back in Mississippi and Alabama.
Well, thank God you all are safe and haven't had any of those issues.
But we had a school shooting.
Yeah, I saw that. That just didn't make any sense. For a person that old to do that.
And then I got offended, Brother Miles, because they named their school the Covenant.
The Covenant.
I was very offended. Yeah.
I
was very offended.
Because they named it the Covenant?
I was, yeah.
Amen. Doesn't necessarily mean it's Elohim's Covenant, right?
I know, but they shouldn't have never used the name.
All right, amen. Amen. I'm not mad at you.
When it comes to the Father, I get real particular.
Amen. I hear you there. Print this one as well. All right. Yeah, we want to do. I also sent an email out, and I'm not going to officially start the meeting yet until I have all this done, so we can be on one accord. But trying to hear if I hear that printing. My printer's way out there. I have two of these. Okay. I sent an email to the lady that the approver for the grant that we were looking at the other night for that conservation. And it clearly says that an individual can apply.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked them to clarify to me what services a individual could provide. I don't believe we as an institution or a company are ready to take on what I saw in that application. If it's just, you know, if they're saying that the individual can just provide training and they got to have a certain cert to do that, then I would be willing to look into that. But as an organization and the reporting requirements and all that, when I looked, I was like, this looks like they would want us to cover a large area. And have specific type of knowledge, and so I need to reread what she sent me because I don't know what this one is for. U.S. Department of Agriculture, Farm Service Agency, Farm 5929. Oh, this is the paperwork that has our farm number on it. So the farm number is done. The stuff that she's needing is for the NCRF, people who give the grant. So that is what, so our farm number is 5929. Okay. So let me print that. Thank you. back to this email and see what she wrote again. Okay. I reviewed the manual CC902, farm out plan, and entered it into the automated system. I have attached the automated CC90 farm operating plan for you to review and sign where indicated. Okay, so let me see which one of these is 902. 941. This is 902 right here. Okay. All right, so give me a hot second. Let me play a song, and I'll be right back. I'm going to pick this up off my printer and get these signed and back to them so that we can go ahead and proceed. All right, I'm going to play this song, and I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
You gotta take, so you provide the spirit,
you provide.
Amen, 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 amen. One more thing to do here. Okay, and Sister Lorraine. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Sister Lorraine. Yeah, could you pray us in for this meeting?
All right. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for watching over and protecting us. Thank you, Father, for this meeting, Father, that everything that we need, we'll be able to find it out and going through the article, and just thank you and guiding us and making sure that we can apply for this grant and get approved for it. Thank you, Father, for blessing each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. All right, let me, I don't really want to share my screen yet because I wanted to slow down. We are, the object of this particular meeting and the one on Thursday will be to learn grant.gov, so we're taking the Grant 101 course this evening together. And so that when it comes time to start applying for these grants, we have a kind of an ideal of what we're doing, and we can, you know, sort of understand the terminology and what have you. So as I was saying, I sent an email to the lady who is supposed to be over the grant that we were reading about on last Thursday night. I believe that was when we did it. No, Sunday, I believe. No, Saturday, probably. Saturday evening. And she's out until Friday, I believe. But, you know, this particular grant doesn't close down until, what, the 27th of April. And so we have, I believe we have enough time, you know, for her to respond back and answer. And then, you know, hopefully I can get her on the phone and not, you know, be an email correspondent. We'll get her on the phone. And the lady that just approved our farm, gave the farm number and got it into the system, she's also supposed to be one that's supposed to be knowledgeable of this program. So I will surely hit her up tomorrow morning, see if I can't get her on the phone. What I found out is most of these farm offices are, they're barely manned. So you get a phone, you know, you get a voicemail 99% of the time. And so, you know, the way I got this done yesterday is I actually went down to the office and the lady happened to be walking out the door, coming into the hallway, and she, like, you know, asking me, because I knew I'd probably look like I was lost, you know, where I was going. I said, Suite 506, and she says, oh, that's us. And then she went and got somebody to help me. So they submitted it to the county, which is where it should have been going, in Apache County, and the lady up there got it done today, so this is a good thing. And the forms that I'm sending back now, then that is actually to the NCRS, the ones who, like, FSA does the loan, NCRS does the grant, and we definitely want to apply for grants wherever we can. And so we definitely don't want to, what, miss their deadline? So that's what we are up against. So I need to get this in to them today. And it should be coming up on my computer screen here in just a second. Then I can, I've already signed it and dated it. I just need to attach it to the email and we can get started. I think it's standing the last page now. So we'll do grant 101, and then if there's any other training resource that they have that we can do online, then we will do it as a team. So I will share my screen. Oh, did any of you look at that email? Did you try to get into grants.gov and see if you could get to that grants 101?
I didn't. Neither. Was the email that you just sent us?
Yeah.
No, let me check it out.
Yeah, the link is in that email. All right, there are all five pages. Save that.
How I do.
NCRS.
Huh? I got the link.
And you were able to get into the grants 101?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, could you send mine back out again because I hit something and deleted it?
I'll send it to you separately because I sent it out to like a group email.
Okay.
So I don't have to
send it. Okay, I didn't get it either. I had it and then I hit something and I deleted it some kind of way.
So, Sister Mary, did you delete it?
I must have because I don't have
it. Okay, hold on. And let me bring it up myself. .gov. Grant 101. Okay, check your email now. It'll just have the link in it.
Oh, I got it.
And just let me know if it comes up on your computer or on your tablet.
Yep. I got it.
Okay. So we can follow along there or gives you, you know, you can follow along on the screen and you have a link to it yourself. Okay, so let me go back to my email, Farm. Okay. Not at all. And we're not going to consider this part of the business meeting. This is just training we're doing.
Okay.
The upload. I'm going to take me some no-dos because somebody yawning.
Me?
I can't tell which one of you it is now. Y'all sound alike when y'all yawning.
Well, that's my sister.
Yeah, I know. I used to have a hard time telling y'all apart. All right, so let me send this off. Let's see. Anybody remember the name of that program that we were reviewing? Conservation something. Equity and conservation or something like that. I got it on our screen. Equity and Conservation Outreach Cooperative. All right. I don't know if you got grants.gov up on your screen. I'll just share it on mine, and then you have a link to it if you need to get to it. All right, amen.
I got it up.
Okay. I still think I need to reboot the server. I don't know if it's my computer or whether it's the server that's being slow. All right, you should have screen sharing enabled. You don't have to use it unless you want to. But that's what you'll be able to follow along with me or just follow along on your own computer. So Grant 101 is supposed to teach us the basics about grants, how to navigate them and that kind of stuff, and the different phases of the grant. So we want to look at this. And please take notes. It's hard for me to read and take notes at the same time. I might ask somebody for their notes. So take copious notes. Very detailed. Keep in your hearing. I read part of this earlier today. I didn't get, real far into it. But this is what we want to be, we want to be very knowledgeable about this in a very intimate way. Because whether we get approved or not, it's going to depend upon how well we pay attention to detail and making sure that we answer everything, that the grant requires. And so this is the fundamentals of it right here. All right, a short summary of federal grants. A grant is a way the government funds your ideals and projects to provide public service and stimulate the economy. Grants support critical recovery initiatives, innovative research, and many other programs listed in the catalog of federal domestic assistance. And I actually want to try to find that catalog. It's probably
right.
Do
you have that on your screen, what you're reading?
I do.
I don't see that.
Oh, you know what? You don't, because I clicked the wrong screen. Hold on, I'm going to stop sharing. Let me start sharing again. I think that's right there. Screen now.
There it is.
I got it. Okay. All right, sorry about that. I probably want to take a look at this catalog in the next couple of days, the catalog of federal domestic assistance, kind of see what's in there. Okay, a grant of one of many different forms of federal financial assistance. Federal financial assistance, and they define that and have a link for it. It's a broad term to refer to the various ways the U.S. government redistributes resources to eligible recipients. On grants.gov, you will find grants and cooperative agreement opportunities and from federal agencies that award grants. The grant life cycle, and that's kind of over there on the right-hand side of the screen in that red and gray. So you got the pre-award phase, the award phase, and then the post-award phase. The grant process follows a linear life cycle that includes creating the funding opportunity, applying, making award decision, and successfully implementing the award. check out the grant lifecycle page to find out what the applicant and what the grant making agency do in the lifecycle. So we will definitely, you know, check that out, the grant lifecycle page for more details. The specific actions along with along the lifecycle are grouped into three main phases. Each of the three phases has its own page that provides a more detailed look at the process. The pre-award phase, the award phase, and then the post-award phase. We are going to, so the pre-award phase, they do funding opportunity, the announcement, and the application review. In the award phase, when they make the award decision and the notification, and in the post-award phase, the implementation of, you know, the grant and the reporting and closeout, reporting requirements for the grant, like they're going to want you to collect data, you know, on how much you did of whatever. And then there's a closeout date for the grant where either closeout, they're not giving it out anymore, or the grant stops. Grant lifecycle page in more detail. I'm going to open this in a new tab. All right, can you see that tab?
Yeah.
Okay. Grants.gov brings together federal awarding agencies and applicants, helping to streamline the grant process. Read below to learn more about the roles of the grantors and applicants in the federal grant cycle, life cycle. The grant process follows a linear life cycle that includes creating the funding opportunity, applying, making award decisions, and successfully implementing the award. The specific action along with the lifecycle are grouped into three main phases. Each of the three phases has its own page that provides a more detailed look at the process. So the pre-award phase. Pre-award phase, the grantor's action. In the early stages of the grant process, the grant making agency plans and develops a funding program based upon its mission, the administration, and the congressional initiative. So, you know, they're defining what the grant is for and all the requirements. Next, the grant-making agency formally announces the funding opportunity, advertising it to applicant communities, and invoking proposals tailored to address the program mission. The grant-making agency will publish details of the funding opportunity on grants.gov. So the life cycle steps. The granting agency, planning and they do the planning and the opportunity, probably create the opportunity, they announce an opportunity. Now, excuse me, I'm eating orange at the same time. The applicant action, so these are the things that we would have to do. Potential applicants will use grants.gov, the search tool, to find funding opportunities that are eligible for and are mission matched for their organization. They have identified an opportunity to apply for, they need to register with grant.gov. Applicants should also check the funding opportunity for additional registration requirements specified by the grant-making agency. So searching for opportunities, registering on grant.gov. And we're already registered on grant.gov. I've been searching for opportunities and then completing an application. Completing a grant application can take weeks. The application package can be downloaded from grants.gov in the form of a PDF, and progress can be saved as form fields are filled in. So good. I hope that they have these as fillable PDFs because we don't want to write all this out. Okay. In the form of a PDF, and progress can be saved as the form fields are filled in. You still require everything from basic organizational information to explanation of proposed work and financial data. When an application package has been completed per the opportunity instructions and check for errors, it can be submitted through grants.gov. So the grant-making agency retrieves the application. When our application has been submitted, the application is retrieved by the grant-making agency and screened for compliance. If it passes initial screen, the application is routed to the appropriate agency program for consideration. Once an application has been retrieved by the agency from grants.gov, the applicant is automatically notified via email. At this point, the grantor application processing begins. Staying in the loop, applicants can track the status of their application with the grant-making agency. The application status process is handled differently by each agency. So we have to, I guess, read the document that is creating the grant, and it tells us how to keep a status update, who we have to contact. As the funding agency reviews the application, a range of program stakeholders will participate. The review process takes time and varies based upon the grant type. As the review process takes place, grant-making agencies may update applicants on the status of their application. So they got a link in here to the review process. We may want to come back up here and take a look at that so we know what they actually do. When the review process has been completed, the funding agency notifies the applicants whether or not they have been awarded a grant. The agency also begins working on with the award recipient to finalize the legal framework for the funding agreement. Following this, the funds are dispersed by the award recipient, then beginning the hard work. After the applicant receives the notice of award, the funds have been dispersed. They will begin their project. The award recipient is responsible for meeting the administrative, financial, and programmatic reporting requirements of the award. Post-award phase, grantor's action. Man, it's gorgeous. So juicy and good. Get off a little bit too much. Grantor action. Providing support and oversight. After an award has been dispersed, a grant management officer at the funding agency oversees the awardee's reporting compliance. This process extends across the life of the grant award and involves reviewing reports submitted by the awardee. Representatives from the grantor agency may perform on-site visits with the project director and implementation staff. Oversight may also occur in the form of auditing. Okay, reporting your process, your progress. Award recipients conduct two primary types of reporting to the funding agency on a regular basis, financial reporting and programmatic reporting. These reports provide information about the overall any audit requests that pertain to the grant. As reports and financial data are passed along to the grantor agency, the program stakeholders ensure that all requirements are being met. Upon completing all the closeout requirements, including a review of the final financial and technical reports from the awardee, the grant lifecycle comes to an end. All right, so that's pretty straightforward. They're going to, they develop the opportunity for what they want to grant. We come in and say, you know, we want to apply for that grant and that we're willing to meet the objectives of it. And so then we have to tell them how we're going to do that. Okay. And so complete the application, and then the application is retrieved by them, and then we just have to keep an update because they may require more information, or they may say that we need to do something else because we didn't do something correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to stay on top of it. And then they finish the reviewing process, and that can take some time. We're going to look at these other links that they have in here to see what they say. So let's read their links, and then we'll come back to the stuff we got to do. So we're going to look at the grantor actions. They got their mission, administration, and congressional initiative. So let me open that in a new window. Can everybody see that?
Grant policy.
Yeah, grant policy. All right, a short history of federal grant policy. Billions of dollars in federal grants are awarded each year for programs and projects that benefit the public. This assistance is rooted in the Constitution and is called to promote the general welfare. It wasn't until the 1970s, however, that the federal grant policy began to evolve into what it is today. In the 70s, congressional lawmakers responded to reports that federal agencies were using assistance awards or grants to pay for services. In doing so, they could sidestep competition and procurement rules normally associated with government contracting. The Federal Grant and Cooperative Agreement Act, passed in 1977, set out to guide government agencies in their use of federal funds, particularly by defining the roles of contracts, cooperative agreements, and grants. Contracts to law states should be awarded when a federal agency is acquiring something. An improved computer network, for example. Grant and cooperative agreements, meanwhile, should be awarded when a federal agency is providing assistance, such as funding for a lower-income housing project in an at-risk urban community. So grants are for providing assistance, and then contracts are for awards of what, when they're receiving an actual product. Yeah. So if they're acquiring something, say it's, like I said, an improved computer network, which involves them buying what, more computers and that kind of stuff, upgraded computers, maybe a higher capacity wiring and that kind of stuff. And that's a contract. A grant is when they're providing assistance to a company to help with the implementation of the law. The Office of Management and Budget, OMB, published a guidance in 1978 directing agencies to ensure the grant funds be used only for assistance-based programs and projects. Policy formation. Since the 1970s, subsequent grant-related legislation has helped to further develop federal grant policy. It works much like it did in 1977 and 78. Congress creates the grant-related laws and regulations. The Executive Office of the President, of which OMB is a part, helps to implement the laws through executive orders and guidance that define administrative rules. Finally, the grant-making agency creates internal and external policy procedures based upon the OMB guidance, CSAR. These agency-specific policies for award recipients do not carry the weight of law, so they may be required of award recipients if they are listed in the notice of award. Okay, so that's our guideline right there, the grant policy. And I don't think we have to memorize them. We should just be aware of them, that there may be some requirement coming from them. So let me go back to that.
Was that the application?
Huh?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Okay. How grant policies are made. When a new law is added to the book, that is only the beginning. Stage one, statute regulation. Congress appropriates funds to the federal agency and passes other grant-related legislation. Example, 2014 Congress passed Data Act, which directs all federal award data to be accessible to the public on a single website. Executive orders, memoranda, circular. Executive Office of the President issues guidance for implementing the legislation. Example, in 2015, Executive Office of the President creates a task force and launches a pilot program to determine how Data Act will be implemented. Stage three, administrative policies and procedures. Grant-making agencies develop administrative policies based upon guidance. 2017, agencies adjust their internal and external policies to the final guidance issued by the Executive Office of the President. Okay. So we got one, stage one, statutes and regulations, stage two, executive orders, memorandums, and circulars, and then stage three, administrative policies and procedures. And to give an example of each one. Key legislation. Other legislation has addressed everything from lobbying efforts to auditing requirements and cross-agency data sharing. The Office of Management and Budget, along with the other bodies, has continued to play an important role in interpreting and implementing the laws among the federal government awarding agencies. Today's current grant policies have been largely shaped by a range of statutes, regulations, executive orders, and guidance. To learn more about current grant policies, click below for summaries of the laws and their intended impact, beginning with the most recent. We're going to come back to this, or you can look at this. We'll look at this at another time. But that's taking us down into the actual legislation. And we can review that another time. But we know that how it's supposed to work, that it's actually directed at by the president, what programs they're going to actually offer as grants. And then the Office of OMB sets the policies and everything for it. And then by executive order, it's actually, you know, granted for that year. Okay. So let's go back to here. So that's mission, administration, and congressional initiative. Let's look at announcing the funding opportunity. We open that up in a new window. Okay. Funding opportunity. Funding announced. Opportunity announced. Both the grant-making agencies and the prospective applicants conduct their planning process. The awarding agencies prepare and publish funding opportunity announced FOA upon the related legislation and their budget. So FOAs are funding opportunity announcements, and they probably won't say that again, so you just need to remember that. A funding opportunity announcement includes all the pertinent information and requirements for an applicant to assess their eligibility, competency, and interest in the funding opportunity. How do you find these opportunities? That's where grants.gov comes in. You, a prospective applicant, can use the search grant function to navigate through opportunities to settle on the right funding opportunity, or what's that, funding announcement for you. Funding opportunity announcement for you. Once you select a funding opportunity to apply for, there are two high-level steps in addition to your own application development process to work on before submitting your application to grants.gov. Register to apply for the grant. Complete your application. Registering to apply. Registering to apply for grants on grant.gov includes several steps and types of registration, including SAM.gov and grants.gov accounts. Pages dedicated to walk you through the applicant for registration process under the applicant tab. Completing your application. Before jumping into the process of filling out the application, you, in essence, the organization or individual, should spend time analyzing your own capabilities as compared to the specific eligibility and technical requirements details in the application instructions. The application planning process is lengthy, but it is critical when considering the importance of carrying out government-related work and the competition you may face for funding. While the specific steps may vary widely depending upon the type of grant you are applying for, major components of the planning process include developing your ideals, conducting research, and writing your proposal, and completing the application in grants.gov. If you are interested in more specific information or training on the development of an effective proposal, there are a number of options out there. First, we recommend pursuing the awarding agency's website. Often the awarding agency provides specific information on pre-award process pertaining to their types of funding opportunities. Next, so that is a let me do this. Okay. Often the awarding agency provides specific information on pre-award processes pertaining to their types of funding opportunities. Next, we also recommend looking at grants.gov community blog. And upcoming grant events from across the grant world. Application review process. Once the application submission deadline passes, the awarding agency gets to work reviewing the application. The specific process for reviewing an application varies based upon the type of grant you apply. So we need to know the application submission deadline. That's important to us. Okay. Once the application submission deadline passes, the awarding agency gets to work reviewing the application. The specific process for reviewing an application varies based upon the type of grant you applied for. The generally applicable steps are as follows. Initial screening to ensure application is complete. Programmatic review and assessment of the substance of the application. Final review of the proposed budget. Award decision and announcement. Okay. Screening of the application. In the initial screening, sometimes called a basic minimum requirement review, the agency will check each proposal to ensure it includes all the required elements to qualify for the grant. What the specific requirements are will vary for each grant. The common elements are eligibility, program narrative, and budget attached. The key for the initial screening is that the agencies are looking for the presence of the required elements, not the quality of the element. So, in other words, they're looking to make sure that we fulfilled all the steps,
mm-hmm.
gave them what they want first. They're not really reading to see what the quality of it is, but that we, if they say you need A, B, and C, that we would include it A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're looking for. And if we didn't include A, B, and C, they're probably not going to call back and say, hey, you didn't include this. They're probably just going to say, you know, we weren't selected. And then we'd have to go back later and ask, you know, well, why? Well, you didn't, you know, fill out all the steps, or you didn't complete what you were supposed to complete. And I think they use those things as reasons to qualify or disqualify applicants. In other words, if you can't follow directions, then we're not going to, you know, we're not even going to let you apply. We're not going to consider you. And then for all those that followed all the steps, then they go into competition. Their specific proposal goes into competition
mm-hmm.
to see if they're going to be awarded. Okay. So it said in the last sentence, the key for the initial screening is that the agencies are looking for the presence of required element, not the quality of the element. If your application does not meet all of these basic requirements, then your application is likely to be rejected. Programmatic review and assessment of the application. The remaining applications undergo a thorough review and assessment for their technical and programmatic quality and competence. Again, this varies depending upon the type of grant you apply for. For discretionary grants, the review is conducted by an independent expert to assess the application using the uniform rating or scoring system established by each awarding agency. A common format is a peer review panel of at least three people who assess and score each application independently. Then the peer review panel will convene to discuss the merits of the application. A series of policies and assurances are in place to maintain a fair, objective process based upon the material facts in the application and without conflict of interest for the peer reviewers. The federal agency staff monitor and participate in this review process. Final review. While an application may have technical and programmatic quality, your budget also needs to be well documented and reflect the requirements of the grant program. The federal agency conducted a cost analysis reviewing each line item and the overall proposed budget to ensure compliance with the statutory and financial regulations. Additionally, the financial review also factors in the total budget for the grant program in relationship to how much money each application requests. So you have to justify the money that you're asking for. Have it documented and, you know, with a budget. So we would have to develop or ask them, you know, see if there's a suggested budget, or if we're knowledgeable enough about it, then we should be able to create our own budget of what's required. And then, you know, create those line items and how much it will cost depending upon, you know, what grant we're going for and what we're trying to do. So, you know, if you're not used to doing budget, I know that these are budget heavy, and we all need to get used to them because we need to know what we're talking about and what affects what. Okay, let's go back. So those are my notes that I took from that page. Still don't stop to take notes because that's just, you know, for my own purpose right there. We can go back over them. All right, so that was the announcing the funding opportunity. Let's go down to initial screening. Okay, so in their initial screening. Initial screening of applications. In the initial screening, sometimes called a basic minimum requirements review, the agency will check each proposal to ensure it includes all the required elements, kind of review of what they already said. To qualify for the grant, what the specific requirements are will vary for each grant, but common elements are eligibility, program narrative, and budget attachment. Did we already read this? We did. Yeah, we already read this. Yep. Let me go back. Maybe I already clicked that link and go to review process. The application review process. Once the application submission deadline passes, the awarding agency gets to work reviewing the application. The specific process for reviewing an application varies on the type of grant you applied for. The generally applicable steps are initial screening to ensure application complete, programmatic review and assessment of the substance of the application. Okay, and so this, an initial screening application, jump down to programmatic review because those other two paragraphs you've already read on a previous page. Looks like this is all the same information. Programmatic review and assessment of applications. The remaining application undergoes a thorough review and assessment for their technical and programmatic quality and competence. Again, this varies depending upon the type of grants you apply for. For discretionary grants, the review is conducted by independent experts who assess the application using the uniform rating and scoring system established by each awarding agency. The common format is this is all the same information we just read. So I wonder, I think they just got different links to the same page. It's the same information over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go back over here. I'm going to close those down. No, it's not the same. So this is the award phase. Once the federal agency completes the application review process, the award begins. Final award decisions rest solely in the hands of the federal agency staff with judiciary responsibilities and legal authority to enter binding agreements. Federal staff review and make award recommendations based upon the programmatic and financial reviews of the application. These recommendations are reviewed by a series of levels in the agency to ensure high quality, fair, and unbiased decisions. Notice of award. Once the final award decisions are made, the award agency sends a notice of award to the entity selected for funding. The notice of award is the official legally binding issuance of the award when you or your organization accept the grant, in essence by signing the grant agreement or by drawing funds. You become legally obligated to carry out the full terms and conditions of the grant. As an award recipient, you are also subject to federal statutory and regulatory requirements and policies. Not sure what some of these are? Check out the grant policy, what we would be legally be held to. So this is grant policy. Short history of federal grant policy. We've already read this. Yeah. So we're just Senator May key legislation. I guess we're going to come back to this. I think it's down in these links right here. Go back. Look at reporting. Reporting. The agency monitors your progress and expenditures through various programmatic and financial reporting procedures, as well as using performance metrics per the grant agreement. While the majority of the award recipients carry out the grant ethically and efficiently, these monitoring procedures are necessary to maintain transparency and to prevent fraud and abuse. The award agency typically has a grant management officer and program officer designated for, to each grant. Both of you will work with both of which you will work with throughout the life of the grant. These are the ones who will review reports and conduct site visits, so we recommend you build an effective line of communication with these staff members. It is better to prevent issues by talking to your grant and program officer to clarify grant terms or expectations than it is to submit a report and wait for the problem to be identified and recourse initiated. The specific reporting requirements, schedules, and systems can vary for each grant. So please review the grant terms and conditions carefully for this information. Check out the grant system section to learn more about the systems you may have to use and where to find more information about them. I'm going to open this right now, but we're not going to go there yet. Let's have over there this one, this and this. Auditing. Federal grant-making agencies and grant recipients are audited. The Government Accounting Office, GAO, Office of Inspector General, and various departments within each federal agency monitor, analyze policies, expenditures, and more activities within each grant-making agency. These same entities, as well as others, are also monitor and analyze the performance of grant recipients. Single audit. The federal awarding agency ensures non-federal entities have a single audit conducted and submitted a single audit reporting package to the federal audit clearinghouse in a timely manner. The federal award agency also performs follow-up on the audit findings to ensure that the non-federal entity takes appropriate and timely corrective action. As part of this process, the federal awarding agency issues a management decision within 6 months of the federal audit clearinghouse. Acceptance of the audit report for audit findings that relate to federal awards it makes to non-federal entities. A non-federal entity that expends $750,000 or more in federal awards during a fiscal year may be required to have a single audit conducted for that year. The audit is in lieu of any financial audit of the federal award, which a non-federal entity is required to undergo under any other federal statute or regulation. After completion of the audit, the non-federal entity submits the audit reporting package to the federal audit clearinghouse. Within 9 months after the end of the audit period, the non-federal in follow-up and corrective action on all audit findings. That's not surprising. The closeout step is where the grant process ends. In order to complete a closeout, you, the award recipient, must submit the final financial and programmatic report. According to the OMB Unified Grants Guidance 200.343, the recipient must submit all financial, performance, and other reports required under the grant within 90 days after the grant award expires or is terminated. The awarding agency will review these reports to ensure compliance with all the grant terms and conditions, as well as to make sure you spend all the funds appropriately. How do I know when a grant is officially over? The federal awarding agency has to confirm that the recipient has completed all of the required grant work and all the applicable administrative tasks. Until the awarding agency confirms this, you are still responsible for filling all the terms of the grant. The closeout process can take several months if there are financial concerns or questions to reconcile. Also, if you or your organization required any property using grant funding. If you or your organization acquired any property using grant funding, the closeout step is when you must make sure to handle this property exactly as the grant stipulates. With completing the appropriate report on this property, lastly, you are typically required to retain your grant records for at least 3 years from the date of the final expenditure report. Okay. Again, the control factors that has to be expected. So if you're getting money for free, they're not going to let you do what you want to do with it. Okay, let's look at the grant systems. So these are probably the different systems that you have to use for reporting. Systems and tools supporting federal awards. The following systems or tools are involved in registration, application, and reporting process, federal awards. Note, this is not an exhaustive list. Please email support at grants.gov to request that another federal system or tool be added. Automated standard application for payments. That's probably where ASAP, or the automated standard application for payments, is a platform through which award recipients and federal agencies may process grant payments request and handle disbursement reporting activities. So this is probably the system that you would use to get your money through. And probably, this is where they would track the money. Commercial and government entity, CAGE, code, the Defense Logistics Agency, CAGE, code, weapons, website provides a standalone solution to search for foreign and domestic entities. We probably wouldn't be using that one. Disasterassistance.gov is a resource for citizens impacted by a disaster. The website provides information about support and services, and it is also a channel through which entities may apply for financial assistance. You might need that one. Dun & Bradstreet, the former government request service for the U.S. Federal Government Awards. This has been replaced by UEI, SAM. Okay, so that just reports, do a report card on your business and tell other businesses whether you're credit worthy and all that kind of stuff. Electronic Research Administration, NIH, the National Institute of Health. Electronic Research Administration System supports grant processing for applicants, awards, recipients, and federal staff. Federal Procurement Data System, GSA, the Federal Procurement Data System, is a searchable repository of data related to government procurement and contracts. Some federal agencies also publish financial assistance data to the system. Grant Solutions, HHS, the grant management solution developed by the Grant Center of Excellence, serves both grant-making agencies as well as applicants and award recipients. There's a whole lot about that. Intra-agency Edison. Intra-agency Edison is a portal funding agencies report to their funding agencies about inventions created with government funds. Okay. I don't think we're going to be creating anything. Okay. So these are just some of the programs that we might have to use. SAM, Awards Management, the System of Awards Management, is a free platform through which entities apply to receive awards from the U.S. federal government. Must register, allow applicants to look up or request a unique SAM number, which is required when registering for grants.gov. So I know I have this number already because I'm already on grants.gov. Just have to find out what that number is. Accountability and government grant system. Tracking accountability in government grant systems warehouses over 20 years of HHS grants award program data that is designed to facilitate the public and private sector constitute understanding the work, availability, benefits, and trends in HHS facilitated public investment. Now, this one we may want to look into because this may be where we get the information for a previous grant and what the people actually did. So I'm going to tag this one. And this would be one that we would use for research, I'm thinking. Yeah, that's my favorite. Oh, the already for grant. right, let me make a folder for it. I want it there, though. Okay. I'll come back and look at that one. See if there's any searchable databases. Because a lot of these grants they have already, you know, given out before. And this one's supposed to have the data, program data, and it's designed to facilitate public and private sector constituents' understanding of the work, the availability of benefits and trends. So I'll just take a look in there. This one too. USA spending.gov is a single searchable website accessible to the public, listing information about every federal grant, federal award as required by the Federal Funding Accounting and the Transparency Act. So we're going to also tag that one. And put it in the same folder, the grant folder. Okay. Let me close those. I'll come back and look at them another time. All of this. Any questions so far?
Questions?
Huh?
I said I have no questions. I'm falling alone.
Okay.
I don't have any either.
Okay, cool.
I don't either.
All right, cool. All right, so all y'all start going into the grant. Nothing. I'm just playing. All right. Potential applicants to use the grant.gov search. Eligibility. We're already registered, so we're already eligible. We just have to find out what grants we're eligible for. We've already done this. Notice of award. So let's just look and see what they say here. So this is what we should be doing. Notice of award. Once the final award decisions are made, the awarding agency sends a notice of award, NOA, to the entity selected for funding. The NOA, the notice of award, is the official legally binding issuance of the award. When you and your organization accept the grant by signing the grant or drawing down funds, you become legally obligated to carry out the full terms and conditions of the grant. As an award recipient, you are also subject to federal statutory and regulatory requirements and policies. So that was the same stuff as was on a previous page. I don't know if it's been up here or they just had it on that page. Okay, so we know that. Type of reporting. I think we probably already read something on this as well. Okay, the agency monitors your progress and expenditures through various programmatic and financial reporting procedures, as well as using performance metrics per the grant agreement. While the majority of the award recipients carry out the grants ethically, yeah, we already read this. So the auditing and then the single auditing and the closeout, that was all on the same page. So some of this is just pointing back to information we've already read. And this audit request is that single audit and that kind of thing. All right. So let's see, where do we go from here? So let's look at a getting started checklist. Let's see, pre-award phase and the award phase and the post-award phase. We've already read this stuff. These three right here on the left. So we're going to go down to this getting started checklist. Getting started checklist. The grant process encompasses a lot of steps that are completed by different groups. Below is a checklist of the main steps in the process with links to more detailed information on each one. familiarize yourself with the overall Grant lifestyle. I'm sure we will be reviewing that lifestyle page. A lot of times. Determine your eligibility by funding opportunities on grant.gov. Identify the right types of funding opportunities for you. Learn about the reporting requirements you will need to comply with if awarded funding. Search for the specific grant you will apply for. Confirm that you are eligible to apply for that grant. Register with grants.gov. Apply for the grant. Grant policies of eligibility, terminology, grant-making agencies, grant. I think that it kind of went through a lot of these already. Yeah, that one has already been, we've already been through this one. Anybody agree on that? Hello? All right, if anybody's talking, I can't hear you.
Oh, I just asked you what was the question, what were you asking if we agree on?
That we've already been to this page. Anybody recognize this page? Recognize the table because we went over stage 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, I think I need to ask questions as we go. Because I'm not recognizing this page, and we actually went over this page.
How grant policy I made.
Remember, it was talking about, let's see, the example was. What were you about to say?
Talking about how I go about getting them, like the federal government and then the president.
Yeah, how the president and the OMB, how they work through.
Right.
It's all done by executive order.
Right.
And the OMB manages it for the president. Mm-hmm. And whatever ones the president wants to support that year, he signs an executive order. So we looked at this one earlier, but you have a link to it so you can review it again on your own. At grant eligibility. Who is eligible? I don't think we've been here yet. Determine whether you are eligible to apply for and receive a federal grant is very important. If you are not legally eligible for a specific funding opportunity, you would waste a lot of time and money completing the application process when you cannot actually receive the grant. When considering eligibility, the first step is to know what type of organization you represent or whether you are applying as an individual. If you already know whether you will apply on behalf of your organization or as an individual, then you are ready to check your eligibility. There are many types of organizations generally eligible to apply for funding opportunities on grant.gov. Each type of organization listed in the categories below in a specific search criterion on search.gov. Individual applicants are welcome to. Government organizations, state government, county government, city and township, or government, special district governments, Native American tribal governments, federally recognized, and Native American tribal governments other than federally recognized. Education organizations, independent school districts, public, state, and controlled institutions of higher education, private institutions of higher nonprofits that do not have a 501c3 status with IRS other than institutions of higher learning, for-profit organizations other than small businesses. Okay. Small business grants may be awarded to companies meeting the size standards established by the U.S. Small Business Administration for most industries in the economy. Individual people may submit applications for a funding opportunity on their own behalf, in essence, not on behalf of a company, organization, institution, or government. If you are registered with only an individual applicant profile, you are only allowed to apply for funding opportunities that are open to individuals. .gov are for organizations, not individuals. If you are looking for personal financial assistance or other types of funding, check out the grant program section to learn about how to find other forms of funding from the government. Let's look at that one at some time too. Foreign applicants, the authorizing legislation and agency policies will determine whether a foreign agency, a foreign individual or organization may apply for a grant. Foreign applicants need to complete the same registration process as domestic applicants, but there are additional steps to this registration process. Depending upon the intended use of the grant you are applying for, you may need to file a U.S. tax return, which requires a taxpayer identification number, also referred to as an employer identification number. If a non-resident alien is awarded funding to perform activities outside the United States, then this likely does not constitute U.S. source income, and a 10 or EIN is not necessary. Examples of such funding include scholarships, fellowships, grants, targeted grants, and achievement awards. Before applying, foreign applicants should thoroughly review the IRS website and search for their most recent guidance for alien international taxpayers. So grant program section, let's look in here. Finding grant programs. If you are just entering the realm of grants and government funding, it can feel overwhelming. Yes, it can. Trying to find the right program for you and your organization. When considering grants, these programs can be broadly categorized as those awarded by the federal government and those awarded by non-federal entities. Categories are a variety of funding sources and program types. Federal grant funding and benefits program. To sort through the federal grant programs and our authoritative source is the Catalog of Federal Domestic Assistance, CFDI. I said we're going to look at that one. This site cannot be found. Well, that's good. That's not good. This catalog lists all the available funding programs to all levels of government, nonprofit organizations, for-profit business, and other eligible entities. Search grants within the grants.gov allows you to search, filter, and apply for specific opportunities to receive funding from one of these programs. Non-federal grant programs. There are a large number of nonprofit organizations and for-profit business that also provide grants for other types of funding. Note, the information below is not exhaustive, and grants.gov is not affiliated with nor endorsing any of these resources. They are provided as a convenient prospective grant applicant. CANDID maintains a comprehensive database on U.S. and global grant makers and their funding opportunities. It also operates research, education, and training programs designed to advance knowledge of philanthropy at every level. CANDID's Funding Information Network facilitates access to grant resources and publications to under-resourced entities and populations. State and regional directories can also be found with some research. Try using the Community Foundation Locator to find a grant-making foundation in your region. You may also use your preferred web search engine to find your state grant and foundation directory. Local libraries may have access to subscription-based search engines or the Foundation Center Cooperative Collections, their library, to work with them for assistance. Okay. Let's just go here for GWIS. Okay. That requires being educated on the grant makers themselves. So a lot to delve into. Go back. Grant careers. Anybody looking for a career? A new one?
No.
The Office of Personnel Management, OPM, defines federal grants management as work that involves implementing and managing federal grants and cooperative agreements and providing grants-related assistance and services. Prepare employees and prospective employees for grant-related career paths. Federal government has developed a range of tools and assets. If you are considering a career in the federal grants management, or if you are hoping to add related skill sets to your resume, we encourage you to consult the following resources after familiarizing yourself with Grants 101 section of the Grants Learning Center. So grants management and financial management. We're not going to get into those today, but I'm looking for this as a career. Grant reporting. Understanding the reporting and oversight process. In 2006, the Federal Funding, Accounting, and Transparency Act set in motion a government-wide reporting procedure that has continued to evolve. The law requires that information about entities and organizations receiving federal funds be disclosed to the public via a central website, usaspending.gov. This information currently includes the entity's name, the amount of the grant, funding agency, and location, among other requirements, and is published by the grant-making agency, USAspending.gov. The federal award recipient, called the Primo Awardee, files progress reports via the FFATA sub-award reporting sub-recipients, those entities receiving sub-grants, submit data to the Primo Awardee. Those sub-recipients with awards $25,000 or more must have the data shared by the prime awardee through FSRS. The following chart lays out the process in a linear format. Sub-awardees give their reporting data to the prime awardee. Prime awardees submit all required data via FSRS, and the Federal Grant Making Agency publishes programs data on USAspending.gov. Making sense of grant reporting process. Sub-awardees give their reporting data to prime awardees. Prime awardees submit all required data to FSRS. The Federal Grant Making Agency publishes the program data on USAspending.gov. So let's say that I got a grant and then I sub-award it to, or they allow me to sub-award to each one of you to do a specific task or a job through the grant. So then you were required to, let's say, keep data on what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You would submit that to me. You would be the sub, and then I would be the primary awardee, and I would submit that information. I would, you know, correlate all that information and then submit it in FSRS to the Federal Grant Making Agency. And then they would use it and report it to USAspending.gov. So it's like a bottom-up reporting system. Progress reports. Grant recipients submit regular reports called performance progress reports or research performance progress reports documenting a project throughout its lifespan. These reports may include both expense-related data and quantitative information about the project's impact. Grant recipients may receive site visits from the federal grantor agency. Such visits provide an opportunity for two-way communication between the grantor and the award recipient. Technical assistance provided by the grantor is also a means by ensuring that the grant recipients are complying with the award agreement. The Single Audit Act, amended in 1996, states that the grant recipient may be subject to an audit once a year, and that there may be the audit aims to ensure compliance with the government regulations and evaluate financial information, including the expenses paid with the federal awarded funds. And then these are the forms that we could be required. The request for advance or reimbursement, outlay report, request for reimbursement for construction programs, federal financial report, federal mint, tangible personal property, real property, status report, research performance progress report, disclosure of lobbying activity. I doubt we have to use that one. Data collected from a single audit. We may have to use that one. Okay. Grant fraud. Can you help fight fraudulent activity? Or you can help fight fraudulent activity. Every year, hundreds of millions of dollars are distributed in the form of federal grants to universities, local government organizations, and individuals. The vast majority of these funds are spent as intended, but misuse, deceit, and abuse are nonetheless present. As a result, hundreds of thousands of dollars go to waste. Fraudulent behavior can take the form of embezzlement, theft, bribery, or false claims and statements. Such violations of federal law are difficult to flag without the help of individuals inside the grant community. Learn how you can help with fraudulent behavior and thus strengthen the integrity of the federal grant system and increase the overall efficiency of the government. What is grant fraud? Grant fraud typically occurs when award recipients attempt to deceive the government about their spending of award money. Such behavior amounts to lying, cheating, and stealing, according to the Department of Justice. Learn more about the responsibility of entities that receive federal grant funds. What is a grant scam? The allure of so-called free money from the federal government has enabled scam artists to prey on people's hopes by promising access to grants, often for free, for a fee. In reality, federal grants are rarely awarded to individuals seeking personal benefits, and applying for grants is completely free. Learn how to sniff out a grant-related scam. Read some grant scam alerts. What are the costs of grant fraud? Besides triggering loss, efficiency, and waste in the government, grant fraud can also have a significant impact on the entities found to have carried it out. The Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General warns that consequences can include debarment from receiving future funding, administrative recoveries of funds, civil lawsuits, and criminal prosecution. Who is responsible for monitoring fraudulent behavior? Federal Inspector General. Within each government agency have been established as independent and objective unit tasks with combating waste, fraud, and abuse in their respective programs. To report a suspected incident of grant fraud, contact the IG, Inspector General, within the appropriate agency. How can grant fraud be stopped? Only with your help. Front line of defense against fraudulent behavior is the grant community, includes accountants, auditors, and other award recipient personnel. Okay, so it's 7:01 right now. I'm going to say that we're going to stop here for tonight, and hopefully I will get an email from the young lady from the USDA that said she would do the research for us for, like, the fencing and the agency to submit to for the atmospheric water generator and house. So as we can see by this grant process, it's not going to be an easy process.
No, it ain't going to be no easy.
And it's a lot required, and we just want to make sure that we're doing it by the book.
All right.
That way, you know, even if we don't get the award, this year, we'll be that much smarter.
Right.
And whatever we can't get this year, we're going to apply for again next year. I've put out the feelers to the SBA to a guy tomorrow around 11 o'clock from SBA or from a bank that SBA uses for funding. I sent it to him with the requirements for the glamping site and not the farm. And so I'll see what they can and cannot do. But we're going to, you know, we're going to continue to move forward and, you know, get this done one way or the other. And y'all will give us a favor once we find what we really need to have in this area. So let's keep our heads up. Let's get ready to put our, you know, some our nose to the grindstone and just do what we need to do and get it done. All right. With that being said, any questions, you know, on anything?
No, but that almost sounds like Grant said when you go into college.
Mm-hmm.
Used to. You know, like that Pell Grant.
Right.
Stuff like that. No, huh?
Yeah, you just have to make sure you use it, because they pay the Pell Grant directly to the, what, college?
Right.
So it's hard for you.
No, they give you, they'll disburse money to you, too.
Oh, okay.
They used to.
Then you have to make sure you do what you're supposed to do with it?
You have to make sure you do what you do. Your grades have to be up to par and all that.
Right. Well, this is going to be the same way, except for they're going to give us the requirements of what performance standard they want us to meet.
Right.
And then we have to make sure that we are able to collect that data and report it in a timely
right.
manner, and that we're following any procedures that we say that we're going to do that they agree to, that we're following those.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could audit and say, hey, you know, the grant requires that you're not doing that. And then we have to tell them what, you know, what corrective procedure we're putting in place to accomplish that. So, you know, the audits are to identify, you know, discrepancies or weaknesses or where you're not doing what you say you're supposed to do, that you said you were going to do. And then they want you to put in some type of, you know, if it's not egregious and it's not, doesn't look like something that is fraudulent, then they're going to want you to take some type of corrective action to you know, mitigate that issue and then show where you, you know, where you actually did that. So, you know, that's to be expected. I think the only problem with those audits are that they can have you jumping through the hoop. Through the hoop, you know, trying to answer the question and getting the data that they want. But, you know, there's some sites. I'm going to go back through this again, maybe probably not tonight, but maybe by Thursday. Or, you know, when I take a break from doing something else, I'll come back on here and read again. Some sites that I want to go through, too, like that the one that shows the grants that they awarded.
Mm-hmm.
And who else they awarded to, like the sub-grantees and stuff like that, and see. Because they said, you know, an individual can apply for, like the one that we were reading says that an individual can apply. They awarded this grant before, but I want to see, from an individual standpoint, what type of service did they offer? Were they just teaching? Did they come up with, you know, the entire program and then, you know, sub support it? So I just wanted, you know, sort of get a feel for that. The other grants that we're applying for, I know they're going to, the performance will be, if we say we're going to, you know, put up solar, then they're going to expect that we're going to spend the money on solar.
Yeah.
And be able to show that. If it's for housing, then they're going to, you know, fund the housing, and then we got to show that what we actually did, and that we spent the money the way that we said we were going to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the budget that we had already put together previously, like for the glamping tent or for the domes with the shipping containers
mm-hmm.
and the furniture and all that, that's a starting point. And then we just refine those, and then we have to word it in such a way that it looks like because I think you can actually do housing for workers as well. on a loan like that or a grant. And so however we have to word it, that's what we have to become.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get the housing approved and they're going to give a grant for it, then you guys just will become the worker. It doesn't matter about anything else. We just want to get it done, because once it's done, then they're going to be within a year or two, what, out of our hair,
mm-hmm.
once the grant is closed off, and we can do, you know, whatever we want to do after that.
Right.
So we just do what we need to do. All right, if there's no question, Thursday night business meeting, depends. I hope that I have the link from the young lady. I will. I did email her today and sort of ask if she had. Didn't hear anything from her, so hopefully we get have it by Thursday. If not, as I said, I have a. You can probably get some of the same information from the lady that did the farm application today.
Uh-huh.
When I asked, you know, when I went back to the USDA or the FSA office to contact there, she told me that the same lady, you know, used the handles, all that stuff. So we will, you know, go back to her or go to the lady that's in Apache County at the regional office, and I will, you know, start pushing her for information and exactly, you know, what grants are open or how do we find these grants, you know, what's the nomenclature, so we can search ourselves.
Right.
Not have to keep going back to them for, you know, to tell us. I don't want to appear to be lazy or anything like that, but what you don't know, you don't know.
You don't, right.
So we will concentrate on that. We will try to find out exactly what programs are available, and if there's some that are coming up real soon, we want to just, as I said, put our nose to the grindstone and do what we need to do and, you know, put our best foot forward. If we don't get the grant,
right.
then we still learn from the process.
Right.
And it'll be back next year. You just have to wait a whole year. And we can still be pursuing other things. So this is just one avenue. All right. There are no questions or comments then, or any other comments. Let's see. Sister Lorraine, do you have anything you want to say?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a good process. I think that you're right. It's a learning process. As long as we... make sure that we're eligible, and I think that the categories that you went over seems like you would be eligible for one of those categories. And it's just identifying the grant you want to apply for and submit the paperwork. I think it's a good process.
Okay. All right. And Sister Mary?
No, I don't have any more comments.
Okay. Sister Denise?
I don't have any comments.
Mr. Clara? Any comment? All right. You might be asleep. Shalom, Brother Gary.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Right. You've been listening for a while. You have any questions?
Not offhand, no.
Okay. No. All right. That being said, let's bow our heads, and Sister Mary, if you will pray us out.
Dear precious Father God, thank you for allowing us to have another productive meeting, and if it be your will, allow mm-hmm. us get the grant, use the grant properly, and progress on it as we try to. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 All right. So we will meet on Thursday. We do have a farmer's market on Friday. I actually went by and picked up a check from the company that I sold microgreens to and then lost this young lady to put a cancellation on it. And she would just give me another one Friday when I see her at the farmer's market. But we are progressing and we're making progress. So I just thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Passover is coming up in April, like the 4th of April for us. So let's see when the 10th is of this month. Because in the 10th of the month, I want you to start removing leaven from your diet, from your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just try to wait till all at one time. Hold on a second. Looking up the calendar. And it's the 5th through the 12th.
Man.
And then, so the Feast of Unleavened is from the 5th to the 12th. The first day is a non-working day, Passover, which would really be the 6th. Because Passover starts in the evening. And then that first day, which would be through the 6th, is a non-work day. And then the 12th is a non-work day. The heave offering, that's supposed to be a non-work day. But the heave offering is usually on a Sunday. Let's see. The 9th is a Sunday. Okay. So that probably won't affect anybody who's working, you know, during the week. If you're working on the weekends, then it can affect you. All right. With that being said, so start preparing. The 10th of the month will be the 31st. So on March 31st, you should start removing leaven from your house. Start preparing yourself. The 10th of the month is the day that Messiah came into Jerusalem, same day that Israel would be going to get the lamb for the Passover. On the 10th day of the month, you should go and get your lamb and hold it up until the, 14th?
Right.
And then from the 14th through the 21st of the month would be the Feast of Unleavened. Starts with Passover. All right. So we will be preparing for that. And I don't have anything else. And so peace and blessings, my brothers and sisters. And enjoy the rest of your evening and see you on Thursday. And let's do the theme song.
Hey.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have have no beginning and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo,
put an email, send it out. All right, family, shalom.
Shalom.